Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hey, Mr. Jazzy, tell me who is singing this song. The immortal Night and Day, Cole Porter's Night and Day.
Yeah, it could be a number of people, really. Diane Reeves, maybe?
Nope.
No? Could be Dee Dee Bridgewater.
Nope.
All right, let me have one more guest here.
Cyndi Lauper.
Nope. No. No.
Want me to give you a clue?
Yes, please.
She has worn a dress made out of raw meat.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
This is the
she
Gaga.
She can do it. She can do these songs and does them very well.
This is one of the things that I did in Vegas, baby.
You saw Lady Gaga?
Last week.
Nice.
It was last Sunday, actually. 1 week ago today. I was in Vegas. I mean, Las Vegas. I hate when people just say Vegas. It's like, I'm so busy, I can't say one more syllable. I was in Las Vegas for a friend's nephew's wedding. You know, I've known this, you know, the little boy since he was little. And got married in Las Vegas last weekend. Danny and Jill, congratulations. It was a beautiful, beautiful wedding. So I thought, you know, I'm in Vegas. What else is there to do? I'm not really a gambler. I was looking around for shows. Lady Gaga's doing a residency at the Park MGM Hotel of just jazz and standards, Shawnee.
Why didn't you call me?
Because I was...
You didn't want me to be out there with you.
Right, right. That's part of it. I had a great fear that I might have to share my room with you.
I would be just as fearful.
You know, she does two kinds of shows now. She does the big arena shows where she does all of her big pop songs. And she does a jazz and standard show, which was phenomenal. It was...
I'll bet.
Just the Great American Songbook.
And that was a big band with her?
27-piece big band with her. Hmm.
Oh!
27-piece big band.
Oh.
She did about 20, 25 songs. She's got this new album out right now that's a duets album with Tony Bennett. And there will be a television special coming over the holidays with her and Tony Bennett, the concert that they just did at Radio City Music Hall, which will be Tony Bennett's final concert, because he's now living with Alzheimer's. She sings these songs beautifully. Anyone who discounts Lady Gaga as just being... just another pop singer. Just another singer who walks around wearing flank steak.
What was she wearing when you saw her?
Beautiful, beautiful,
beautiful gowns.
Beautiful gowns. Had four or five different costume changes during the show.
I think she's one of the best singers out there today.
She definitely is.
Yeah.
Definitely is. I mean, her interpretation of these songs, she has learned from her mentor, Tony Bennett. She worships him. Clearly, the way she talks about him during the show, and you know the importance of jazz, the importance of the Great American Songbook. You would have enjoyed the show. You especially would have enjoyed the show because you're such a jazz head. But I just had the best time at the show. It was just so great.
What other songs did she do?
Name it. Name any song from the Great American Songbook.
American Songbook.
She sang Billie Holiday songs. She sang Dinah Washington songs.
Dinah Washington, yeah.
She sang Ella Fitzgerald songs. A lot of Cole Porter, because this new album with Tony Bennett is a Cole Porter album. So she sang I've Got You Under My Skin.
Love for Sale.
It was great.
Yes, sir.
Really, really nice. The only downside was that the wedding that I was at a lovely resort outside of Vegas proper. It was in Henderson, which is maybe about like a half an hour out of Vegas proper. Gaga was appearing at the Park MGM. And by the way, if you're going to be in Vegas, baby, she's there till the end of the month. So if anyone's interested in seeing the show. That you got to go into the strip, which is a rat hole. as far as I'm concerned. I am not a fan of that whole
The last time we were
scene.
There, it was so crowded.
Yeah.
And really just not pleasant.
Yeah.
Not pleasant.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Same. COVID? What COVID? Masks? What are masks?
What are masks?
What are masks?
Oh, yeah, it's Halloween. Put on a mask.
In crowded places. Why would you want to wear a mask in a crowded place? it's amazing. Outside of that, outside of the, you know, that's where all the shows are going on the big, places there. So
Lady Gaga being so popular, I would imagine there was a good crowd for the show. Then.
It was a very good crowd.
Good.
I don't know what the capacity was of the theater. I would have guessed just by looking at it, 2,000-3,000 people. Hmm. It was sold out. I will say for her show, you had to show proof of vaccination, which is great.
Yeah,
or a recent negative COVID test, and that's a lot of the places now where you got to bring your vaccination card with you to show that things are safe. So it was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Had a good time there, but not anywhere near the fun that we learned about by looking on the Facebook. I saw the news early this morning. Big Sunday morning news to
yes,
share
we
this
do.
Morning. Producer Ryan Pollack proposed to his girlfriend, now fiance. Ryan, when was this? Yesterday?
Yesterday afternoon.
Yesterday afternoon. And she said yes?
She said yes.
Yeah, I saw the
Very
pictures.
Quickly, thank
I saw the pictures of you proposing. I never really saw that she said yes.
Yeah,
I assume
that's true. Yeah, I never.
I don't think the pictures clarified. Would be there if the answer was anything
know.
Other.
Yeah, he's kind of full of drama. He does produce the show, so he really couldn't
Learned
produce
well.
Anything. But congratulations!
Yeah, it was a great nice. Afternoon. Beautiful day yesterday. Beautiful fall day.
Yeah.
Sun. Clear blue skies. Couldn't have asked for anything perfect. Lincoln Park Conservatory.
Oh, very
took
nice.
Her there. Yeah, I had a friend waiting in the trees, dressed
Excuse
in black.
Me? You had you had some espionage going
he
on.
Was standing
just
by.
In case you said no, he had a friend in the trees ready to
take both of us out. Poor guy showed up about 20 minutes before we did, so he had to awkwardly stand in the park with a camera dressed in black.
Not that unusual.
Not unusual
in park,
Chicago.
Really. Yeah.
And, it was great. Just, went for a little walk before popped the question, and it happened so naturally. She started talking more sappy than I did, and she didn't even know she was getting proposed to.
Huh. Like and what? Just, like, what do you mean?
Just rolled right in. Well, she was just saying.
Being
she's
very
like,
romantic?
Yeah, she was just being very romantic. She must have been caught up in the moment.
In the beauty of a lovely autumn day in
Yeah,
Chicago.
It was great. She's like, I really love you. She's going on and on. It was so nice. We were walking, and I'm thinking, meanwhile, I'm like, wow, I don't really have to give a speech now. She's kind of touching on all the bullet points.
Right. Well, since
taking
you brought
my,
it
taking
up.
My script.
Yeah. So she, I let her go, and I was like, right. I added my couple little things, and then just.
That made it easy for you.
My couple of little things.
So the only thing that was kind of funny was the moment I go to do it, the moment I'm like, okay, I'm gonna get down on the knee here. She goes, it's really hot. I got to take my coat off. She starts taking her coat off, and I'm like, can you leave it on for 2 seconds?
It wasn't that hot yesterday.
No, but she worked up a sweat from, I don't know, walking
from all the
conversation.
The love in the air. All the romance.
Anticipating what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she was completely blindsided.
She was, yeah. Right. We looked, we picked out the ring together because I didn't want to get her something that.
Right,
she wouldn't like. It was kind of planned in that. But I had her leading to believe it was going to be a while. Right. And I was like, yeah, I'd like to save up. I'd like to take our time. She's like, okay, yeah, you're going to make me wait a year.
Yeah, and so you get down on. Do you remember what you said?
Full name, and will you marry me? And she said, yes, she was very surprised. So I had like the shock on her face I've never seen.
Yeah, tears?
Almost.
Oh.
I'm glad she didn't because I may have teared.
It's okay.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. No. Not at all.
Oh, that's.
But she actually, she teared up when I told her that I asked her mom.
Yeah.
You know, for her.
For her hand.
Blessing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And her mom started crying.
Yeah.
Which made me start crying. And then when I told that to Alexis, she started crying.
Oh, good. Good.
It's just.
That's good.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. I couldn't,
nice
could not be happier for you.
No, thank you.
You're a lovely, lovely couple. And I couldn't be what?
Jessica says, can we all go to the wedding?
Yeah, Sunday morning show will have their own.
Yeah, we're doing we'll a live. We're doing a live remote.
We're we'll gonna, do the show from
get married
there.
At 9 a.m.
It's a table reserved.
Yeah, we're going to do the wedding's going to be on kayaks. And, all the places that we've said we're going to do.
And
the
we'll
show.
Wear our bowling shirts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I did have this idea that we should. You know, we're going to be at Tree Time in a couple of weeks. How great would it be if you got married at Tree Time?
Oh, that would be perfect.
Yeah.
Well, I can never, I'm bad at patience.
Yeah.
So I bought this ring, you know, a month ago or so. I was telling my family, like, man, maybe I'll ask her in the winter. And they're like, you're not going to be able to wait that long.
Yeah.
So here we are a few weeks later. And now we're planning this wedding. I'm like, are we really going to be able to wait till June 2023?
Yeah. Of course
I think
not.
We will, no.
Of course not.
So Tree Time. That seems...
Of course, you can't wait. November 14th. I could easily get ordained between now and then.
You've got some groomsmen already here.
Yeah, we've got a groomsmen. Well, Andy, I was actually thinking of you more like in a flower girl capacity.
Well, that'd be fine too.
Walking down the aisle of Tree Time, throwing flower that? Petals.
All good.
What's my role?
I would say maybe you could walk her down the aisle. You could walk Alexa down the aisle.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it seems like a good father figure. Yeah.
And while you're giving her away, I can give you away. I've been waiting for something like that for about 30 years. So, so we're going to...
That sounds good. Yeah, we should market this. This would be...
Of course.
We got a great turnout.
You know, weddings are nice and, you know, all that. But if you can't market it into some cheap publicity stunt for the show,
yeah,
you know, what's the point? So I'm thinking that either... You know, I imagine you have to talk to Alexa about this, see if she, how she feels about getting married at a Christmas tree store.
On a Sunday morning.
In Lake Barrington.
And everybody there is a stranger. No one formally invited.
Right. Where you don't know one person at your own wedding. I would find that very attractive. But on the unlikely event that she says no, the very least, we should have a bachelor party for Ryan's Tree Time.
Now we're talking.
Yeah. Do they allow strippers at Tree Time? Do they even still do it? I haven't gone to a bachelor party in a long time.
Bring in Vegas to...
Yeah. Yeah, we'll get some Vegas showgirls.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, happy news on...
thank you.
Happy news.
Congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
I'm surprised you showed up for work today, to be honest. I would have taken the cheap excuse to take the day off. I would have taken it for sure. Well, anyway, happy congratulations to you and Alexa. And we're going to talk with Dr. Kevin Most, who I believe was spying on me for dinner last night. Details on that are coming up. Chicago's very own. Ladies and gentlemen, you thought we forgot the far-flung forecast. Oh, no, we could possibly never do that. Our weekly compendium.
I thought you did.
Well, I actually did, to be honest
because
with you.
Because you didn't want me.
Got caught up in all the wedding talk and wanted to get to our weekly compendium of facts, figures, interesting information, all presented to us by Dave. Love is a many splendored thing, Schwann.
Two things here. First of all, love is part of the far-flung forecast. Also, the theme music could not, I emphasize, could not be more appropriate.
This music or
this very
the
theme
Andy
music?
Group of
because we are going to Mount Airy, North Carolina.
Ooh, doggies.
Now, do you know what Mount Airy, North Carolina is known for?
Well, it's supposedly where Mayberry was.
That is correct.
On the old Andy Griffith show.
It is the birthplace and hometown of Andy Griffith. Mount Airy settled in the 1750s as a stagecoach shop, but Andy Griffith was born there. It was also the residence of one of the cast members who we lost last week, Betty Lynn.
Yes.
Died a week ago yesterday at the age of 95. Betty Lynn actually moved to Mount Airy, North Carolina, around 15 years ago or so, and was taking place, taking part in all of the celebrations for Mayberry Days
She was kind of an ambassador.
She was an ambassador for the show.
And she played Thelma Lou on the show, Barney's long-suffering girlfriend on the show, and eventually wife.
Yeah, eventually. It was a long, drawn-out romance, and since love is in the air on this program today, let's hear from Barney and Thelma Lou.
Whether you sweet-talk me or not, Barney, it's you I want.
Well, you're the only girl for me.
Oh, Barney.
Now, let's explore.
Are you sure
this.
That wasn't Ryan and Alexis? Wow.
Let's explore.
Are you
this.
Sure that wasn't the romantic encounter?
That sounds like exactly what I did.
Lincoln Park yesterday.
Yeah.
I want to explore this, though, because you may or may not realize that Thelma Lou was not the only girlfriend Barney had.
Oh, no.
Barney had a girlfriend by the name of Hilda May that was on just before Thelma Lou. And then there was the other woman that was neither seen nor heard.
Hello, Anita. Barn. What do you mean, why am I talking so softly? I always talk softly to you, Anita.
Now, whether or not Thelma Lou...
Over at the diner.
Yeah, we're at the Bluebird Diner.
We're at the diner.
It is not known whether Thelma Lou knew about Juanita, but at any rate, during one of the social dances that Mayberry held, Barney declared his love for Thelma Lou.
You know, you're the only girl I care anything about. I mean, you're the only one I really, well, love.
What?
I said you're the only girl I love.
I can't hear you.
You're the only girl I love.
Yeah, Lincoln Park yesterday. Those of you by the zoo yesterday, that's what you heard. Barney was quite a player.
Barney was the man. We didn't even get into the Fun Girls, where he was known as Bernie.
Bernie. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, hello, doll.
Hi, Bernie. Hi, doll.
But
Schwani's like the Ken Burns of the Andy Griffith Show. I just realized you're doing a deep dive into this today.
Betty Lynn, who played Thelma Lou, one of America's sweethearts, Betty Lynn passing last weekend at the age of 95. And Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is the home base for all of Mayberry. Sunny and 58 today. They have a high of 75 in store.
And America's other favorite sweetheart, Dr. Kevin Most. 9:40 is the time. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. Time that we talk with our pal, Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Central DuPage Hospital, Chief Espionage Officer as well. I'm having dinner at one of my favorite restaurants in Chicago, Tofano's Vernon Park Tap. I've been going there for literally decades. I love that place. And my phone dings me in my pocket while I'm having dinner. It's Dr. Kevin Most texting me. I think, what is Dr. Kevin Most texting me on a Saturday night? Maybe he's canceling. Maybe something's come up, some emergency. No. Kevin has been running an espionage operation, following me around, apparently, spying on me. Let me get the exact text here, actually. Let me read it to you. That says that somebody, a friend sent me a photo of you at Tofano's. Joey DeBono is the owner of the restaurant, a great guy. Joey is a great friend of mine. Hope you're enjoying dinner. So spying on me, Kev, huh?
Dean, how about it? It was funny. John Cox, a good friend of mine, a good friend of Joey's as well, was there. He takes a picture of, he has triplets, but he has two of his daughters in the picture, and he sends it to me. He goes, look in the background. That's Dean Richards.
How funny is that?
So I hope you did enjoy it. That is my favorite Chicago restaurant.
It is fantastic.
Couldn't be a better family that runs it, and just great food, and it's really a great place.
Couldn't agree with you more. All on Vernon Park Tap, which is right near Racine and Harrison. Normally, what do you have a dish that you always have when you go there? Because when I go there,
Okay, go ahead.
Last night was the first night ever, maybe in 30 years, that I did not have their eggplant parmesan.
Wow.
Because I had gone there for lunch a couple of days before that and had the eggplant. And I thought, do I want eggplant two times in 1 week? I sort of do, but I'm going to venture out and have something else. So I had, last night, I did not have the eggplant parmesan. What do you usually have when you go?
You know, I think Joey's chicken is outstanding, you know, and then you just got to get the Tofano salad to start, sausage and peppers. And then, you know, if you want to go with something basic, even their shells and broccoli is just, you know, it's like how simple it can be, but it's phenomenal. And just the atmosphere and the family aspect of it is great.
I haven't been there probably since, I mean, for a sit down dinner. I haven't gone probably since before the pandemic, and it was just fantastic. And what a funny surprise when I got your email. You know who else was there? You know, this is funny.
That's, I know, I heard.
Somebody took my picture. Former Governor Rod Blagojevich was at the next table. So that was strange to, like, a little gathering that was back there last night. So a fun night to be had. Thank you to Joey DiBuono and his whole family. It's a family operation for a wonderful evening there. And now I know I better be careful not to do any scratching or anything, because someone could be taking a picture of me somewhere out there. So how are you? How are you doing? This has been a big week loaded with COVID news. Optimistic and good by your estimations, all having to do with the booster shots and all kinds of approvals that have been coming out?
Yeah, you know, with that first approval of Pfizer and then the kind of the uncertainty, okay, I got Johnson & Johnson, what do I do, or Moderna? Now that they've all been approved, I certainly think we're going to have a bigger blanket of protection, and that positivity rate is creeping down. So very promising.
So where are we with all of this now in terms of booster shots that have been approved for everybody, but for all three of the shots that are available, but the restrictions remain the same though, correct? For who can get them right now?
Yeah, there's some people definitely get them now, but still the restrictions, 65 and older, occupations that would make you at a higher exposure, immunocompromised, that's for everybody. I think the interesting one is right now is the Johnson & Johnson, which we talked a long time ago when it came out. Was this going to be a two-shot? Because they were doing a study at the time, you know, and they just approved the one shot. But certainly looks like those who got Johnson & Johnson should get a booster now, and not necessarily Johnson & Johnson as their booster.
Well, that, you know, that's the other question that I had about the cross mixing, I guess you might say, of your original vaccinations versus what you might get for a booster shot. For example, I got the Pfizer's. I think you told me you got the Pfizer's.
Yep.
Also, when it all started, do we stick with Pfizer? Can we move to somebody else? Is there a benefit to moving to Moderna or Johnson & Johnson? If you started off with one thing, can you switch to another now? Is it safe and is it more effective?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We had the study from Israel, we had the study from Britain, and then we did our own study here. And certainly I can tell you, Dean, I got Pfizer. I'm going with Moderna for my booster. You know, the results were pretty staggering, although small numbers, but still very staggering. Certainly they are safe. So Moderna followed by Moderna got the best antibody response. Pfizer followed by Moderna got the second best. So anybody out there who is going up and saying, you know, I'm here for my booster, getting a Pfizer one is going to be fine. Getting a Moderna is going to be fine. I wouldn't jump to the Johnson & Johnson if you already have the mRNA. There's still some talk about that. But certainly if you got Johnson & Johnson first, switching to the mRNA is definitely going to give you a much better, amazingly better coverage. I mean, dramatic, 76-fold with Johnson & Johnson followed by Moderna, 35-fold Johnson & Johnson followed by Pfizer, and only 4-fold increase in antibodies Johnson & Johnson followed by Johnson & Johnson.
Any difference in the possible reactions doing the cross or going to Moderna? Because I do remember at some point people, it seemed like people were having greater incidence of reaction to the original vaccine of Moderna. Is that going to be the case now with the boosters?
Yeah, that's one of the things that they're telling people now. See, if you got really bad reactions to whatever one you got, you may consider switching to the other just to the slight chance that you may have less side effects. There's not enough numbers out there to tell us what the side effect profile is going to be, but it certainly is going to turn your immune system on and boost it. So you can expect you're going to get similar side effects, probably regardless of which vaccine you take.
Okay. All right. And is there going to be a problem to go someplace and say, I would like, you know, where you can pick what you want instead of just taking whatever they had? I remember in the beginning we were saying, take whatever you can get. Is it going to be difficult now to go someplace and say, I would like the Moderna, I would like the Pfizer?
Well, it kind of depends where you go. If this is, let's say, for a nursing home, certainly that nursing home is probably going to go with one manufacturer and vaccinate easily and quickly. The everyone else, you can kind of shop around a little bit. You can call CVS, you can call Walgreens, you can check with your county health department. The one little weird caveat is Moderna, for their booster, put it at half strength. But the study that everyone's talking about, Moderna was used at full strength. So hate to be more confusing, but I'm certainly going to hopefully get my booster at a Moderna full strength is what I'm hoping to get.
How do you find out whether or not you're getting half or full?
They'll know. The pharmacy will know. The pharmacy is going to have, it's going to be two separate vaccines. So it's going to be, you know, as if you were getting the first series or if you're getting the Moderna booster. So, you know, it's going to be one of those where it's what is going to be available wherever you're at locally, because we are really going to push people to say, get these boosters as quickly as possible as we enter flu season and as we enter the winter, because
right.
We don't want another big bump up here.
Right. And the booster would be one shot, not a series of two like we did originally.
Correct. One shot.
A couple of other questions regarding vaccines. There's been some talk now that young kids are now eligible to get vaccinations. Is that right?
Well, not quite. I mean, the study data has been submitted, but they will meet October 26th and November 2nd to look at in great depth here. Interesting point is they expect it to be approved because now every state can order vaccine. And if you read the papers now, we're looking at the schools getting ramped up so that the logistics of giving the vaccine, which they assume will be accepted for the ages of 5 to 11, will be approved here probably early November, and for distribution probably, you know, after Thanksgiving, right around beginning of December.
And, you know, people are saying, can I get my booster, either an original vaccine or a booster, and also my flu shot at the same time? I've heard experts, I know that you've said, yeah, go ahead and get both, but I've heard others saying, do them separately. What do you recommend?
No, you know, the study that they did showed that you could get them both. It's not going to change any of the immune response for both of them. People that say spread them out is really looking at the side effects and saying, boy, you know, some people get bad side effects from the flu shot. And if you're going to get bad side effects, is that going to make you hesitant to get that second COVID shot? But from a body's point of view and from the immune system's point of view, you can go ahead and do that. Now, some people are saying for the shingles shot, spread those out. You know, the COVID and the flu, you know, that's a sprint. You know, that's something we need to take care of right now. Whereas the shingles is a marathon. It's something that's going to cover you for decades. So postponing that a little bit may not be a bad idea.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and get to your questions for Dr. Kevin Most. 312-981-7200. Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Central DuPage Hospital, on the line with us. And Sue, you're on the air with Dr. Most. Good morning.
Good morning, Dean. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
My question for Dr. Most is this. My husband and I received our last Moderna vaccine on March 1, and on September 20, we got breakthrough COVID. So we are interested in getting a booster. But my understanding is we need to wait, but I haven't found any information that will tell me exactly how long we should wait, since we had our antibody levels should be pretty high right now.
Yes, Sue, you know, it's really not so much a timing. You can get the booster anytime. What they're saying, what the studies are saying, is if you got a breakthrough case, that's almost like getting a booster. In other words, your immune system got that additional exposure. But many people are saying, hey, I know, but I didn't even like the breakthrough. So you could get it right now. You are a month, you're over a month post your infection. So if you wanted to get it, you certainly could.
Okay.
But if people are hesitant, I say go ahead and be hesitant, because that second that breakthrough infection actually acted as a booster for you.
And it's not going to hurt if she gets the booster, in other words, right?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Nope, not at all.
Great. Thank you so much.
Go for it, Sue. Congratulations on getting through all that. And
thank you.
Getting all the necessary protection. Hey, I wanted to mention, before we run out of time, you know, we're doing our big Tree Time broadcast out of Tree Time Christmas Tree Creations in Lake Barrington on November the 14th. Guess who's joining us? Dr. Kevin Most. He'll be out there with us, answering your questions, doing our All Things COVID segment. And Kevin, we're looking forward to that.
Dean, Ryan told me that I was coming to set up Christmas trees. He didn't say anything about being on the radio.
Well, that's fine, too. They could always use some help out there to do all that.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I haven't seen you in a while, so it'll be fun.
It's your, well, except in photographs that you secretly take of me. Dr. Kevin Most.
I thought it might be them. They have that distinctive sound.
Sounds just like them, right?
Yeah, it sounds great.
Yeah, it's been 40 years since they've recorded together, 40 years since they've appeared together. They said that they would never do it, but they last month they announced that they were putting out a new album. The new album is completed. It's called Voyage. And this is one of the first songs that will be released off of the album, called Just a Notion. It's nice enough song, right?
Takes me back, actually. You know, it's got that distinctive sound of them that ABBA always had. But
I don't know.
It's
what
great that they're carrying it up now, up to date.
Yeah, that they're working on. I don't know. I guess I'm surprised that they sound exactly the same as they did 40 years ago.
They do. They really do.
I don't know. I expected them to sound, hey, dancing queen. I don't know what I expected, but they sound terrific. The new
Waterloo.
Take a chance.
Take a
on
chance.
Me.
Gives a whole new meaning to the SOS.
That's true. That's very true. The new album is going to be out on November the 5th, and they're doing what they're calling a virtual concert. So they will actually not be there. They're going to do this in London in a big arena. Their images will be, you know, shown on stage via computer. And I guess it looks like 3D. It's going to look like they're there, but they are actually not there. That's what we should do for our Tree Time show.
Right?
Can we do that?
Yes. Project it on the wall.
As much as I enjoy being out there, how fun would it be to just have our images?
Any excuse to get away from me, right?
Is that it?
Pay no attention to those men behind the curtain.
I find that so fascinating and yet so creepy at the same time.
By the way, Andy came up with some good musical facts this morning, or a little earlier.
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter today, so it must be real. It was on this date in 1971 that Don McLean released American Pie.
Wow.
50 years ago.
5-0, yeah. Turned big 50.
Yeah, that makes me feel good to hear stuff like that.
Great song. 8.5 minutes. Time to, you know, go do some laundry and come back and play the next song.
Yeah, that was the DJ's. And MacArthur Park were the DJ's two favorite songs, because they were both over 8 minutes, and you could not only run down the hall to go to the bathroom, you could get a sandwich, you could work on all kinds of things while you were off. But Shawnee, you'll remember this, when that song came out, it was like a big deal. It's like, what does that all mean?
American Pie?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And there was an edited version. But then when you heard the whole eight and a half minute version,
right,
then you got the whole gist of what was happening.
Right, right. Somebody had sent me a 4-page explanation. This is years ago. It's not when the song first came out, but shortly after. And I have no idea what I did with it. But even after I read the 4-page explanation, I still had no idea what the song is about. All I know is I drove my Chevy to the levee, and the levee was dry.
It
was dry. That's all.
Did you see them good old boys drinking whiskey and rye?
This will be the day that I die.
This will be the day that I die. Yep. I'll be saying that on November 14th, I think, is the rate we're going.
I think I'm not so into, I mean, you know, because I've been in such a good mood the last couple of weeks. Maybe because I haven't been around you.
Give it time.
That I don't think I want to go with the danger angle this year.
Huh.
Okay. I don't know what I mean. I love the idea. Our producer Ryan proposed to his now fiance Alexis yesterday, and I love the idea of having some kind of wedding theme now at tree time.
I think that's very appropriate
for Ryan. A little celebration for Ryan and Alexis out there.
I think that's very appropriate.
Yeah. Or bad. A lot of people
have a bachelor party.
A lot of people are suggesting some things that we really can't do on the
talk
radio.
About rocking around the Christmas tree, huh?
for bachelor party on the show. But you know, I think somebody did have a good idea, because Elton Jim Toronto always joins us when we're at tree time. He'll be out there. But somebody suggested that maybe Elton can give his festive brooch to the bride.
As the gift, yeah, as a wedding gift.
Something borrowed.
Yeah.
Something like that. So I'm still not 100% sure what we're going to do. I do know, I'm very excited. Dr. Kevin Most has agreed.
That's going to be great.
That'd be awesome.
To join us out there. He's going to come out and answer your questions live. What else do we have? We have the Canterbury Carolers. They've been out there with us many a time.
They're good,
Providing music. They will be performing. We're lining up some other entertainment. Now, this is going to be a live broadcast that we do from Treetime Christmas Creations on North Pepper Road, 22102 North Pepper Road in Lake Barrington. We've done this, I don't know even know how many years we've been doing this now, but it's kind of a holiday tradition now that we do this tree time show. It's going to be from 9 until 1, full show. And, you know, we're going to be taking the, you know, proper COVID protocols. We're going to have, you know, proper spacing. We're going to be spaced out a little more than we usually are. Because normally the, you know, all of us are like crammed at one desk. And I've asked that Shawnee be put at a restaurant that's about 4 blocks away.
There actually is a restaurant there that's quite good.
I know.
I've had lunch with my cousin there after the show.
Exactly. So we're going to be a little more spread out, but we're still going to have just as much fun. And we're inviting everyone to come out and join us for the broadcast. Bring wedding presents for...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That would be nice.
He's got to register there then.
Right, you should go register at tree time for that.
Just get a bunch of trees.
We should have an ornament made up with their names on it.
A commemorative
ornament.
Alexis and Ryan ornament.
Yes.
Hey, that's nice.
All right. You get it right on that, Shawnee.
I am.
So that's going to be November the 14th. We're looking forward to that. So hopefully you'll be able to join us. When we come back from the break, I just want to bring everybody up to date on what's going on with this horrible Alec Baldwin case. They were filming, if you haven't heard the story, I don't know how you could have possibly not heard the story, but they were working on a movie there called Rust, in which, ironically, Alec Baldwin was playing a grandfather to two small kids. The two small kids run away from home in search of their grandfather, who was accused of murder. Alec Baldwin plays the grandfather in this, and was handed a gun. It was presumed to be a prop gun. It was declared to be clean and free of any kind of ammunition. It obviously was not. When Alec Baldwin shot the gun, killed the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. There was some activity in at the New Mexico site last night. We'll talk about that, and I'll just tell you all the latest that we know about this coming up right now. A lot of people are quick to judgment on social media on this, but you know, well, I'll tell you what we know so far and what's going on with the investigation when we come right back. It's 10:20. Sunday morning on WGN, we're going to be talking theater in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking with actor Timothée Chalamet and director Denis Villeneuve about their brand new movie Dune, which is going to be the number one movie at the box office for this weekend. The early numbers are showing that it's on a clear path to taking the top spot. We'll talk about that coming up. And one of the things that we're going to be talking about for quite some time, I'm sure, is the shooting that took place in New Mexico a couple of days ago, in which Alec Baldwin was firing what he thought was a prop gun. It turns out the gun had something in it. They have not announced officially what that was. When there is a meticulous process that goes on anytime that any kind of firearm is used on a movie or TV set, there are three or four people that are supposed to be checking firearms to make sure that they are clean, to make sure that they are safe. And really, nobody knows exactly what happened right now. I mean, social media, because Alec Baldwin is a very political figure and very polarizing figure to many. So, you know, some people are causing him to be, you know, calling for him to be hung in the, you know, middle of Times Square. But the fact is that we don't exactly know what happened with that. We do know this, that an assistant director on the show, who was one of the last people to check the weapon that was handed to Alec Baldwin, shouted "cold gun." When officials shout "cold gun," that means that the weapon has been checked and is safe. And obviously that was not the case with this gun before it was handed to Alec Baldwin. He went on to it's not clear whether they were filming or rehearsing the scene, but he shot the gun. The cinematographer, Helena Hutchins, was filming him, so she obviously, you know, must have been, you know, right in front of him while he was doing this. But again, it's not 100% known where she was, why, what happened exactly. That's what the investigation that they're doing now will all show. The bottom line of this was that the gun was not cold gun. The gun either had ammunition in it or some residue. I've heard many cases of the case where fragments from previous bullets or blanks remain in the gun. And when a new blank then is put in and the explosion of the gunpowder goes off, something could project in a deadly sense out of the gun. So that's what the investigation is going to find out. The New York Times and the LA Times both are reporting that there were at least two accidental gun discharges on this set just days before the incident. And there have been reports of several people quitting this production over the last couple of days because they had concerns about safety issues on this set. So again, investigation is going on right now. Seems like the most prudent thing to do is wait until results of this investigation come out, and then, you know, we'll find out what's going to happen from there. That said, a vigil took place in New Mexico last night with lots of her friends, some of her family, other cinematographers came into New Mexico, people who had worked with her in the past, holding up signs saying, "Helena inspired us all with her passion and vision. Let's gather together to honor Helena and her accomplishments and grieve together." But lots of signs also being held up at this vigil last night demanding better safety measures on this film. That seems to be something that's in question right now. So that's the latest. That's the latest that we know right now on this case, and we'll definitely keep you posted. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with the star of a new show that is about to open in Chicago called What the Constitution Means to Me. Productions are, you know, starting to reopen again in the Chicago area. And live theater is very definitely back. We have, over the next couple of weeks, we have quite a few productions that are going to be reopening. This latest, What the Constitution Means to Me, is a poignant one. And we'll talk about it all coming up. As I had mentioned, Timothée Chalamet, the Oscar-nominated actor, talked with me along with his director, Denis Villeneuve, both from the movie Dune, which is going to be the number one movie in America when all the counting of the money is done later on today. In a few weeks, when we're out at Tree Time doing our live annual broadcast in Lake Barrington, full show that day. I don't know if I can, I don't know if I have the strength to do a full 4-hour show. It's been so long since we've had a full show. I think we're going to have some fun out there. Looking forward to seeing you, and looking forward to Hamp and OB previewing the Bears and Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. That's all coming up in just a few minutes on WGN. Wanted to get a little bit of A-list action in here this morning with my interviews with the star and director of what will be the number one movie in America for this weekend when all the counting's done today, and that is the movie Dune, which I gave a Dean's List A-. I really like this movie a lot. There are a couple of minor problems with the film, but it is spectacular. The story itself, based on the Frank Herbert novel on which the 1984 movie was based, which was kind of a bomb and honestly not so great, the 1984 version. This movie is quite the opposite. It's a strong telling of this story of a family, a young man in particular, who has to, you know, try to save the world. And visually, this movie is something like you have not seen in a long time. I highly recommend that you see this on as big a screen as possible, although it's both in theaters and also on HBO Max. But if you've got a huge screen, you'll probably be able to appreciate it at home as well. Looks like the movie's going to take in $40 million. After that, Halloween Kills is going to be the number two movie for the weekend, the James Bond movie, No Time to Die, which I am also highly recommending. Number three, Venom, Let There Be Carnage at number four, and the animated film, Ron's Gone Wrong, which is a pretty cute animated film, both for kids and adults, rounding out the top five. About a week or so ago, we did one of those Zoom interviews with the star of Dune, Timothée Chalamet, Oscar-nominated actor Timothée Chalamet, and also his director on this movie, who just had an amazing vision to create the world that he created, cinematographically, at least speaking, in this film. Denis Villeneuve talked to me about the making of Dune. So, Denis, I saw the movie yesterday. My mind is still blown after seeing it. So, you know, my first question is have you started preparing your Oscar speech for Best Actor?
Listen,
it's remarkable. It's remarkable.
Thank you for your enthusiasm. That touched me. I will say that right now, all my focus is on the present time, thinking about making sure that people will hear about the movie, that people will know that the movie will be out soon. And my dream right now is that people will experience it on the big screen, because it has been designed, it has been dreamed, designed, done as a cinematic experience that you need to embrace in the theater. And it's the way the movie has been made is really to immerse yourself into a world. And it's something that you can't have at home. So, but I understand safety first. I mean, we are in a pandemic situation. So it's like, I understand that safety comes first, but I hope that people will have the chance to sit on the big screen.
Yeah, hopefully by the time the movie comes out, things will be getting a little better and it'll be a little safer to go to theaters. But speaking of immersing yourself into the experience, Timothy, what was this like? I have to think that this was one of the most challenging shoots that you've ever done.
Well, absolutely. It was the longest shoot I've been on. It was the biggest shoot I've been on, and certainly the demands of the environment, shooting in the Wadi Rum Desert in Jordan, shooting in Abu Dhabi, shooting in Norway, shooting in Hungary, simply by virtue of the travel schedule, as you just said, it was the biggest challenge of any role I've taken on. Gratefully, I had incredible source material to work off of. Frank Herbert's book, which is beloved by Denis and many people, and I had a connection of it with it in their youth. And then was working with the best director in the world, the strongest, you know, supporting creative team, Greg Fraser, our cinematographer, Hans Zimmer. I don't know if you've heard of him. that's all right. I take that back. Of course, I'm joking.
Actually, it was one of the first things I noticed in the credits. It's like, too bad that guy doesn't get more work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. Yeah, we should help.
Yeah. But the thing to the credits and what having worked on it with him, sorry to interrupt you, is that I felt that for it was a big dream for Hans to do this score. He was dreaming to do a score for Dune since I think 35 years or 40 years, he told me. One of his biggest dreams. And he really pushed in the envelope. He really pushed himself out of his comfort zone. He was obsessed with this idea to bring something new to his music. And he really tried to not step in the previous path. Mm-mm. And it was beautiful to see such a tremendous maestro trying to put himself in the zone of discomfort, trying to push him out of his comfort zone to try to create something new. It was beautiful.
Seems like everybody was, you know, obsessed to do their best with this. Timothy, everybody is saying that this film puts you on a new level as an actor, being in this huge blockbuster kind of film. Do you feel that same way for yourself as an actor?
Man, I really appreciate that question because, you know, they say there's three versions of the movie. There's the script you read, there's the movie you shoot, and there's the movie they edit. And, you know, I have a theater background. Chicago has some of the best theater in the world. And the experience when you do theater is it's in the moment. There's a live reaction. You can kind of have a sense of perhaps what's happening in your life or career independent of the role. Now, in this medium, it's especially with the pandemic and the idea that we shot this years ago, it's not that there is a lack of momentum, but you know, you don't have your finger of the pulse of that propulsion and the experience of shooting it while long in length in a huge production. It felt like an indie film. Like Denis has an indie background, I have an indie background, and you know, just the elements that played. It didn't feel like there were seven producers in a tent, you know, keeping the interest of the merchandise at heart or something, without being cynical and without being disrespectful to other, you know, projects. So you know, I'm not averse to working on projects of this size when the director and the material is as integral as any other project and are full of integrity, if that's the right use of the word. And I got to say, it is nice to work on projects where you know there's already an audience waiting for it in some way. And without sounding spoiled or something, because I've had the good fortune of working a lot the last couple of years, but with diluted attention spans, you know, and audiences, You got to make something good if people are going to see it. Otherwise, there's too much good that's already out there.
Yeah, the movie is Dune. It is in theaters now and also on HBO Max.